When things are up in the air, nothing beats a familiar task to provide a little stability. Cooking, cleaning, mowing the lawn, golfing, fishing, anything to provide distraction as you await call night. So Peter announces, "I'm going fishing." After 3 years with Jesus, followed by a roller coaster ride of death and resurrection, Peter's future is uncertain. What now? Where to next? Does Jesus still love me? And Jesus is AWOL most of the time. He's shown up a couple of Sundays, but otherwise, his appearances are spotty at best. Nothing better to do, so back to sea for Peter. "We'll go too," say the other six. All night long and nothing to show for it. Fruitless fishing. But daybreak brings these words from shore. "Little children, do you have any fish?" "Paideia," he calls them, "little ones, helpless on their own." "No," they shout. "Try the other side of the boat," the stranger replies. Voila, more fish than they can haul in. "It is the Lord," the beloved disciple exclaims, in his typical know-it-all, go-to-the-head-of-the-class fashion, kind of taunting Peter. "I saw him first." But what Peter lacks in perception, he makes up for with enthusiasm. Splash, into the water he goes. On shore, things get really weird. Fish and bread already on the coals, where did those come from? And Jesus says, "Bring some more of your catch." So Peter goes aboard and brings the entire load to shore single-handedly. 153 big fish. 153. What could that mean? It's a great number. It's got all kinds of unique properties. St. Augustine went for the bait. He observed that 153 is the sum of all the numbers from 1 to 17. 17 equals 10 plus 7. 10 and 7 mean completeness. So what's complete here? 10 commandments and 7 gifts of the Spirit. Cyril of Alexandria used simpler math. 153 breaks down into 100, 50, and 3. 100 for the fullness of the Gentiles, 50 for the remnant of Israel, and 3, you guessed it, the Holy Trinity. And Jerome picked up from somewhere that Greek zoologists had recorded 153 different kinds of fish in the sea. So the catch represented the disciples' mission that would bring in men from every different nation. Sounds pretty good. Problem is, the Greeks had only recorded 157. We could go on and on with a whole host of interpretations, ancient and modern, but perhaps we can agree with Augustine's final assessment. The number is a great mystery. And numerologizing is loads of fun, but in this case, I think it distracts us from what St. John really wants revealed to us. Revealed, that's the key. John gives us a giant clue in the bookends of this pericope. In verse 1, the evangelist says that Jesus revealed himself to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. And verse 14 says that this was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Ephanerothe, he was revealed. That's a loaded Johannine verb. As it turns out, words matter a lot in John. So we go back to the beginning. The Baptist proclaimed, "For this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed," phanerothe, "to Israel." Revealed as the Lamb of God, revealed as the Father's only Son, on whom the Spirit descended and as a dove and remained. And not long after, at the wedding at Cana, Jesus revealed, ephanerosen, his glory, his first sign, or better, chief sign, pointing forward to revelations of glory yet to come, but not yet. He told his mother, "My hour has not yet come." A little later, after he multiplied the loaves and discoursed on the bread of life near the Sea of Tiberias, his brothers told him, "Phanerosen, reveal yourself to the world." But Jesus said, "My time has not yet come. But now, standing on the shore of the Sea of Tiberias before his disciples, his hour had come and gone. Just a few weeks before, the hour was at hand, the cross, the head crowned with glory. His last words, "It is finished." The blood and water from his pierced side. His full revelation as the sacrificial Lamb of God who takes away, washes away, the sin of the world. Your sin. Finished. Done for. The Jews said to him, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" And Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Now the hour has come for the chief sign, the ultimate revelation of God, the destroyed and restored temple of his body. Now, standing on the shore, he reveals himself again as the risen one, with Sacred Heart pumping holy blood through his veins, with once dead flesh both living and life-giving. He lives. The love of God was revealed, ephanerothe, among us in this, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. You live. But there's a bit more to this scene on the shore of the Sea of Tiberias. It's not just another appearance to prove the resurrection. This was the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples, and he never revealed himself without revealing more fully the kind of Jesus he is for the disciples and for the church. The disciples dragged the fish into the boat. Peter dragged the fish ashore. And Jesus said, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will drag all men to myself." The 153 big fish do mean something. They mean the completeness of the catch given to the disciples to drag in. They reveal the Johannine commissioning of the apostles to be fishers of men. Here we have "go and make disciples of all peoples" acted out dramatically. This sign reveals these sent ones will drag people in from the ends of the earth and bring them to Jesus. And he makes it abundantly clear that he will provide them with the catch. Just look how they fared on their own. That's for us too. Jesus reveals this for the benefit of you who are already fishermen and for those of us who hope to start fishing soon. He fends off pride by revealing that the catch is his, all gift. He fends off anxiety by providing nets that will never break and a boat that cannot sink. Your fishing trip might drag in 10 or 1,000 or 153 or only one, but you can be certain that not a single fish of Jesus will be lost. And he fends off despair and gloom by feeding his fishermen and fish, too, with better fare than they could have ever imagined. Jesus said to the 7 disciples, "Come and have breakfast." Now, none of them dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and also the fish. Just like at an earlier meal near the Sea of Tiberias, when he multiplied bread and fish to give out abundantly. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Revealed as a feeding Jesus, revealed in the breaking of the bread. Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my own flesh for the life of the world. What a way to build the church. So do not hesitate when it is Jesus who calls to feed you. It is the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.